kuatai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, that's right. It's time for one of our most zen, smart, intelligent segments of the week. It is the Scorpio Book Spotlight, and for our final one of the year, we've got Renata in the studio. Good morning.
Morena. Wow, that was quite a high sort of expectation intro.
I know.
Zen, intelligent.
I put too much pressure on you now?
Let's see how I go.
How are you anyway? You well?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm kind of, you know, a little under the pump with the Christmas
rush. Christmas.
All the things are happening.
Has, you know, it's run you off your feet.
Yeah, it's busy.
As it does. Anyway, hey, tell us about what you've been reading.
Well, because of all the kind of Christmas crazy, I thought I'd go for some escapist,
much-loved
fantasy that, you know, I adore.
Much loved.
I'm not kind of a big fantasy reader, but this this series is, you know, kind of an all-time favourite, and I've read it many times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a kind of...
It's quite big in fantasy world,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah. And a lot of other fantasy writers consider it a sort of, you know, seminal text that has huge influence on many other fantasy writers. And it's still being written. He's in the process of writing the last book in the series.
Okay, but how many books has there been?
There has been, in the first trilogy, three, obviously, and then he wrote a second series, which is called The Book of Dust, and that has kind of... The first book in that series is like a prequel to the first series.
Okay.
And then the second book in that series kind of picks up further on from the first series, where the child character, the child protagonist from the first series, is now a young woman.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And he's also written lots of other little sort of spin-off novellas and
things. So the fact he's writing kind of this final of the series, so at the moment, is that quite significant?
He's an old man now, and he's said that this will be the last book, and he's not very well, I don't think, so it's taken longer to write.
Yeah, how old would he be?
Good question. I think early 80s.
At that point I'm like, hun, you're allowed to retire, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there will be so many people, though, who just are hanging out for this book.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I know. Well, that's kind of why I asked, is, like, surely, like, there's so much expectation on what will happen in this book and stuff.
Yeah, there really is. And so much expectation for him to kind of deliver on multiple levels, because what's so amazing about this series is how kind of nuanced it is. And it works amazingly well on the level of a propulsive, exciting adventure story, but it's also incredibly kind of philosophical kind of exploration of what it means to be human, you know.
What
is a soul? Okay. What is death? What happens when we die? What is the sort of meaning of our existence?
So it's fantasy, but it's like very real at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it kind of, it's a kind of precursor to a multiverse in some ways. It's got a, it's the first book starts in an alternative version of Oxford, so that the young girl...
University. Yeah, right.
The young girl, the main character, Lyra Balakwa, is an orphaned child being looked after by, or we think she's an orphaned child being looked after by the sort of Oxford dons, and sort of running wild, really, with her friends around Oxford. But what is very, how we know that this is an alternative Oxford is that all of the characters, all of the humans have their own demon. which is has a physical form. It's like a spirit animal, but it's actually visible. And so children's demons are shapeshifters, and they're like constantly changing form.
Yeah, right.
Then
right.
when you get to sort of young adulthood, your demon fixes in a set shape.
Okay, right.
So you might end up with a puma, or you might end up with a moth. You know, it's kind of...
Oh, interesting.
And it's like a...
Are they like physical? Like, can you touch them? Are they in the way and stuff?
They can touch them. Yeah, they sort of like might sit on their shoulder, or and they can't go very far from the human. Like,
yeah, right.
There's a sort of a invisible bond attaching them, so it becomes painful for the human and the demon.
So just every human in this earth essentially has one of these.
Yes,
right.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a physical manifestation of a unconscious or a subconscious, or so they're they often almost take that sort of cartoon demon on the shoulder sort of role of speaking, questioning or challenging the character.
Right. Okay.
Are you really sure that's a good idea? Because it looks a bit stupid to me.
Yeah, like almost like what the devil and angel on the shoulder type thing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
A bit like that, yeah. But they're very playful, and it's just a kind of gorgeous, gorgeous device that allows for the character to kind of argue with themselves. You sort of see this, they kind of have these really deep conversations, and it sort of works on so many levels. It's almost like a little security blanket. It's like a
interesting.
It's a gorgeous device, and you know, like, I think in a lot of hands it would become a little bit gimmicky maybe, but
yeah,
he just goes so deep with it and what it means, you know, to sort of...
It's like a risky, like, story device to use. Like, it could...
It could kind of get corny or sort of a little bit ad hoc, that you sort of assume exactly the sort of demon that people will have, but it can be quite... contradictory and things, so he plays with it in lots of different ways.
Oh wow.
So children start to disappear in Lyra's Oxford, and there are these sort of mysterious rumours about a group called the Gobblers who are stealing children, and she goes on this quest with these gypsies to sort of find what's happening to these children. And it takes her to the Arctic Circle and to this grand epic adventure.
Wow.
Yeah, and just to give you a flavour for like how epic the adventure is, when she goes off with the gypsies, she meets a polar bear, an enslaved polar bear living in this kind of frontier Arctic town.
Right.
It's being made to work for booze, like he's kind of this drunk polar bear.
Oh my god.
And she helps him to find his armor. So the bears have, the bears are a kind of a race, and they have this armor, titanium armor.
Oh, so are they like humanoid animals?
Yeah, they can all talk. And so she helps the bear to find the armor and sort of get his power back, and they become soulmates as well. Almost becomes like this father figure, the bear.
Interesting.
She meets a kind of airborne cowboy who has a hot air balloon that he travels around in, and she meets...
What a way to travel.
I know. Yeah.
She goes on this adventure to the Antarctic Circle.
The Arctic Circle.
Arctic Circle. Is that like the kind of story of that book itself, or is this?
Yeah, that's the main. That's the main kind of part of that book.
Okay. Then, yeah. So are there different kind of storylines and adventures in each book?
Yeah. She's the main character throughout. Yeah. But. Yeah, kind of goes, and they go into sort of different worlds and different stories.
Right, okay, okay. Yeah,
the second book in the trilogy is called The Subtle Knife, and the subtle knife is a knife that can actually kind of cut through worlds. So they...
Oh, right.
You know, this young boy who enters the story at that point kind of learns, has to learn the skill of... of separating the worlds.
What do they love? What is it? The multi, like a multiverse.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like a precursor to the way we would sort of now think of a multiverse.
Yeah, right. Okay, you know, interesting.
Marvel
wow.
Or whatever, but.
Yeah, right.
But kind of much more subtle because he's always working with the idea, with the sort of spiritual, philosophical ramifications of what they're doing.
It's not
just sort of adventure for adventure's sake. And they go to the land of the dead. You know, like there's kind of, there's a whole kind of quest element because in the first book, when they get to the Arctic, Lyra meets a clan of witches and the queen of the witches knows that she is the child in a prophecy about... it says something like, she is the child who will put an end to human destiny, or something like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So in this final book that's currently being written, will we see the end of human destiny, or something like that?
Who knows what he is going to...
Yeah. You know. So sitting there as someone who's read all these, is it still like it could go a bunch of different ways?
I mean, it gets a lot sort of darker as she gets older.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot darker and sadder.
Oh, so it's like quite a maturing sort of book
really
series.
Is, yeah.
Wow.
And it does.
Wow.
It kind of, it is kind of like the loss of innocence is a big theme, you know, like losing childhood innocence and understanding.
Wow, really?
That we're mortal, understanding, you know, that you know, your friends will die, you will lose the ones you love, you know, the kind of the harsh realities life.
Some like big topics there.
Yeah.
I always find it really interesting when kind of a series of books or like TV shows do that because it's kind of like letting the story mature with audience
readers,
reading it. Yeah,
it is.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I've got some particular hopes about what will happen in the end, but I wouldn't want to drop too many spoilers into the mix.
So what's like the most recent one you've read?
The most recent one is called The Secret Commonwealth.
Okay.
That is the second book in the second part of three. Which is called the Book of Dust. Because dust is, in the series, dust is kind of like, there's always this sort of mysterious substance, dust, that all the scientists are all trying to understand what it is, theologians are all trying to understand what it is.
Yeah, right.
And it kind of, you start to understand that it sort of represents a soul or a spirit.
Right, wow. That is so interesting. I'm so fascinated when, like, a narrative comes to a close type thing.
Yeah.
And so we all love Christmas and all that, but it can be a stressful time. And you've kind of said you read this sort of as escapism.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's got sort of these heavy topics. So it must be written quite well.
Oh, it's written so beautifully. I mean, he's just such a kind of, you know, an absolute kind of good pair of hands that you're in,
you're
in the hands of a master storyteller who never drops the ball, really.
Wow.
You know, he's kind of, and it is very, for children to read, it's very wordy. There's lots of...
what would you say is like the youngest someone could be?
I think as a read aloud story, if you were reading it with children, it would be great from kind of, 9, 10.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, that's probably when we read some of them with our kids, but then reading it yourself maybe in early teens.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting. I'm very excited to see. Do we know when this final book comes?
I think it's supposed to come out sort of early next year, but I think it has had its publication date changed a couple of times.
Oh, right.
Because of his ill health. And
oh my gosh, that must be hard waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the pressure, poor guy, having to sort of carry the expectations.
I know, yeah, there would be.
Hundreds of thousands of readers on your
show. I know, almost scary. Mm. I take it you have most of the series at Scorpio Books? Well, it sounds like there's a number of series.
Yeah, there's a graphic novel version.
Oh my God.
And he's also written a beautiful book of essays about writing.
Okay.
And so for the writers out there who, you know, like to read about writing and about how someone approaches it, you know,
I might need to read
that one's called Demon Voices, that book.
Okay, Demon Voices. Yeah. Right. Okay.
And
well,
we do have that at the shop too.
Yeah. Renata, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
That's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for sharing this series. I'm definitely going to have to come do some shopping, that's for sure, because I'm so far behind on everything.
Something for everyone.
Are you going to have a bit of time off at any point?
Yeah, bits and pieces, but, you know, working sort of through the Christmas New Year period as well.
Yep. Oh, well, have a lovely, lovely kind of break once you get one. Thank you so much for joining me. Have you enjoyed doing this?
Oh yeah, it's been amazing, you know.
Oh cool. Oh great.
Book nerds love to talk about
books. I know, and you're all extremely good at it as well.
Yeah, it's more like try to stop us, really.
Oh, I definitely don't bother with that anymore. Yeah. Like, hey, let's just go. Let's go.
Britain.
Right. Well, that has been our final Scorpio book spotlight for the year. Right, I'll be back shortly.
Kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e Arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.